We've been talking about what a great blessing it is that God has called us to a higher way of life. We don't have to react to the world using the broken world's best tools. We can react to the world with something far better. And we've been thinking about the book of Galatians, Galatians, the fifth chapter in specifics, where the Apostle Paul says this, Galatians 5, he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. If a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Let every man prove his own work. Then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone, not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. What a great blessing it is that as we are called to freedom, as we become more skilled walking with God, learning more about Him, we get to bear one another's burdens. We get to be the kind of support that the friends and neighbors that are around us need. And it is a great blessing that we get to do that. But you know, people that don't know God still try to bear one another's burdens. They do their best. The problem is that they're coming to this effort to bear one another's burdens, not knowing about the freedom that we have. They're still using the tools that this old broken world gives them. And it's just not going to be very successful. Now, in Luke, the 18th chapter, Jesus talks about two men who went up to pray. And it's a passage that we're intimately familiar with. We've read it once, maybe twice. Maybe we've read it 100 times. But I want you to think with me about that passage this morning in terms of bearing one another's burdens. One of those people was going to be very good at bearing another's burdens, and the other person was going to be very bad at it. So let's begin reading in Luke, the 19th or 18th chapter, at verse 9. It says that he spoke this parable to certain people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they despised others. Here's the parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. You know, this publican standing and praying to God, kind of, if you think about it for a minute, he kind of responded to God saying, you know, I'm on your team and you're pretty lucky to have me on your team. I'm really a pretty good player. That man was not going to help anybody because he despised other people. He was trusting in himself. So let's think about what that means to say that he was He was trusting in himself. This word trust is a really interesting word. It's from this Greek word, number 3982. And it's up there on the board for you. You can see that word. It's translated in a lot of different ways in the King James translation. It's translated persuade, and some of the cognates of persuade. It's translated trust, as it is here in Luke the 18th chapter. It's translated confidence and some of its cognates. It's translated obey. That's a really interesting translation. Now, hang on to that. We'll come back to that in just a minute. Sometimes they translated it believed, agreed, assured, friend. Interesting. Made, put, waxing, or yield. When we think about this passage in Luke, the 18th chapter, as I said, we're not very impressed with the publican. He's praying to God saying, God, I'm on your side. And you're really pretty lucky to have me on your side. He trusted in himself. And typically the way that we think about this is that his view of grace meant I'm doing a pretty good job and I don't need much help right now. The publican, on the other hand, thought about himself and he knew that he needed grace every day. Now, the publican had missed the point. He was trusting in himself. He thought he was doing okay. What does it take for someone to trust in himself? Well, I said that it's translated, that word is translated obey in some places. Let's look at the places where it's translated obey. In Acts, the 5th chapter, verse 36 beginning, it says, in those days rose up Judas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and as many as obeyed him. It's that word. As many as trusted in him. They were scattered. They were brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, drew away much people after him. He also perished. And all, even as many as obeyed him. There's that word again. They were dispersed. Who were they obeying? They were obeying Judas, or maybe they were obeying Judas of Galilee. Romans 2 at verse 8. Well, we'll begin reading at verse 1 just to read the paragraph, kind of set the stage for this. He says, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. We're sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? It sounds a lot like the publican, doesn't it? Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, you treasure up to yourself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there's that word again, he renders indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to every man that works good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. There's no respect of persons with God. You know, we tend to look at that last statement in verse 11, there's no respect of persons with God, and we say God is obviously not a racist. And that's true. That's undeniable. But God does not respect your person. If you are obeying something other than God, God is not impressed. And these men were obeying something other than God. Look at Galatians, the third chapter. Here in Galatians 3, it's used in verse 1. He says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?" That's that word trust again. Same word. "Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" That's just an extended definition of what they were doing. They were not obeying the truth. "Have you suffered so many things in vain, if yet it be in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit works miracles among you, doeth he it by the Spirit, by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" You see, we don't trust in ourselves. If you were doing this from the world's perspective, you're not trusting in God, you're trusting in yourself. You're obeying yourself. And you're not going to be effective bearing someone else's burdens, because you're going to judge them by the rule by which you judge yourself. And there's really no value in that. He says they despised others. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Galatians, the fifth chapter. Here we are again. The Apostle Paul uses this word a lot. Sometimes it's translated trust. Sometimes it's translated obey. Galatians 5 at verse 7, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion comes not of him that called you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be not otherwise minded, but he that troubles you will bear his judgment, whoever he be. I, brethren, if I preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution?" Paul says, there's somebody out there that's teaching something that is leading you away from God and leading you to believe that you are the standard and you're not. Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Again, here's the same word, "Obey them that have the rule over you." The obey is directed at those who have the rule over you. And you obey them because they obey God. "Submit yourselves, they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable to you." It's like the Apostle Paul says, "You've known my manner of life, follow it, as long as I follow Christ. But don't follow it because it's me. And don't follow it because it's what you want to do." James 3, last passage we're going to look at. James 3, this word is used again. "My brethren, be not many masters." We're going to begin at verse 1. I've noted verse 3. That's where the word appears. "Knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." Don't be wanting to be teachers, because being a teacher is a hard thing. You receive a greater condemnation. That's not to say that what's right for you is not right for a teacher. What it is to say is that a teacher bears a great responsibility. Amen. He says, in many things we offend all. "If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. There's that same word that's translated when he says they trusted in themselves. He says we put a bit in the horse's mouth so he will obey us. Again, he continues, he says, we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, though they be great or driven of fierce winds, yet they're turned about with a very small helm or a very small rudder, wheresoever the governor listeth. Even the tongue is a little member, boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defiles the whole body. It could be that their obedience came from themselves. They were keeping the law. And this is the way it makes it sound like the publican was viewing the whole situation. I'm obeying, and it's because of me. It's because of what a great man I am. But it could also be that they were not obeying God. They were obeying themselves. They trusted in themselves, or they obeyed themselves. They did what they wanted to do, not what God wanted them to do. And if you approach bearing one another's burdens from either of those perspectives, you will not be successful bearing one another's burdens, because what that means is that when you look at other people, you will despise them. Doesn't matter whether you despise them because they're not as strong as you are and they're failing to keep God's word, or you despise them because they're not doing it the way you want it done. It doesn't really matter. This is from another Greek word. This other Greek word that this is from is number 1848. And I have the spelling and the way it's written in the Greek, the way it looks in English, all that's up there for you. Sounds funny for me to say it's from a Greek word, number 1848. But that's Strong's numbering system, and that's what I have to rely on. I'm not a Greek scholar. I can't tell you all of those things. But it's translated in different ways. They despised other people. They set other people at naught. They viewed other people as contemptible. Or they esteemed them the very least. Now, when the Apostle Paul wrote about Christians, you remember the way he talked about how they esteemed other people? They esteemed other people better than themselves, he wrote to the Philippians. We put other people above us, not below us. It's a relationship that you have with your wife or with your husband. You view his needs or her needs at least equal with your own, if not more important. But if you're obeying your own needs, if you're obeying your own desires, if you're obeying your own decisions, you'll never do that. You will always esteem another least. Thayer says, Thayer is worse than this. He really comes down on this word hard. He says it's to make of no account, to despise utterly. I was watching, I like to watch shoot 'em ups. Movies where the good guy wins in the end. I especially like Denzel Washington. He's done a lot of movies like that. And the good guy always wins in the end. Anyway, he's having a conversation with a bad guy at one point in the movie. And he says, what do you see when you look at me? And the bad guy looked at him and said, I see a piece of lint. I see a bottle cap. Something to be thrown away. What do I see when I pass the homeless man that's sitting on the street? Sometimes I see a piece of lint. Sometimes I despise them. If they were more like me, they wouldn't be sitting on the street. You see, if you're coming at this from the best that this old broken world can offer, if that's the way you're trying to bear each other's burdens, you will not be successful. You will not bear their burdens. You might be like those Jews who passed by the man that the Samaritan helped. Remember? They walked by on the other side of the street. On the other side of the road, they didn't want to have anything to do with him. The Samaritan picked him up, took him to the inn. He said, take care of him. I'll pay. Take care of him. That's bearing one another's burdens. But you can't get there without God. You just can't do it. Because, you know, we have to be thinking about our relationship with God. That's why when the Apostle Paul says this in Galatians 6, he says, you who are spiritual. That's what he's talking about. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more next week. We're going to talk about what spiritual people do, not what broken people do, but we'll talk about what spiritual people do. What a great thing it is to be able to bear one another's burdens. What a blessing it is to be freed so that we can do that. And it takes a long time to learn how to do that effectively, doesn't it? I struggle with it. I'm sure everybody else struggles with it. But it's something that we need to learn. It may be that the person who bore another's burdens is best illustrated by Jesus. He came here. He was the only begotten Son of God. He was God's only one. It wasn't just an angel. God had lots of angels. He was the only Son that God had. And God said, you can go bear their burden. So he did. He took my sins. And if anybody was able to say, you know, I just don't understand how you've made such a mess out of things, it would have been Jesus. But Jesus was willing to take on my burdens because, well, he obeyed God, not his own decisions. It was the decision of deity. So he went to the cross, took on my sins, and there he died. They stabbed him after he'd been hanging on the cross. It was about sunset. They wanted to make sure that he was dead. They typically would have broken their legs. The reason they broke their legs was because once you broke their legs, they couldn't raise themselves up and get breath anymore. So you break their legs, they die. Well, they came to Jesus. They didn't break his legs. They stabbed him in the side with a sword or with a pointed instrument, a spear. And blood came forth. It's that blood that we remember this morning. Jesus said, take this fruit of the vine. It's the blood that was shed for you.